It's not science. It's not gambling. It's both.
Welcome to the Science Slot Machine, a dangerous game of science, research, luck, and improvisation.
This podcast is brought to you by students of the Science and Technology Studies Master Program at the University of Vienna. Even though gambling is largely forbidden here, we take our chances. Every episode, we pick a random topic from science and technology suggested by you, dear listeners.
Then two teams split up to do research on this very topic from an STS perspective. In the end, the two teams present their findings, whether it's dog breeding or the history of sex toys. What a dangerous, thrilling, and insightful game this is. Now it's time to send us your topics. Pick whatever comes to your mind. We will deal with it, even if it's obscure or very niche. Challenge us. Simply send us an email at scienceslotmachine@gmail.com. Again, it's scienceslotmachine@gmail.com. No spaces. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hey, Robbie, Costa, nice to see you on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. Well, not so beautiful. It's pretty wet outside, but it's lovely to see your faces nonetheless. I look forward to seeing you guys actually for quite a few days now, as I've been stuck in the house for the last week and a half. How is the outside world?
Well, it's hard to say because we have been stuck at home ourselves.
That's right. That's right.
From my window, it looks pretty exciting out there.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah. I was outside just yesterday and it was all the same. So you're not missing out really much. I have the feeling there's nothing really happening.
That's great.
So, I'm also happy to see your faces again and hear your voices. although it's online, it is fun to me.
That is. Hopefully soon we can get back in person with the recording with some nice safe protocols. For those that don't know, about a week and a half ago, I tested positive for COVID-19 along with my girlfriend.
Warning, virus infection, alert.
So COVID is no joke, people. I gotta say, I'm speaking to you on the other side. So take that crap seriously. Can happen to anyone. And unfortunately, that's why my co-hosts were also in quarantine, because we had a nice new big meeting to kick off our new podcast that we're doing here with our new format. Anyways, we have a really exciting episode lined up for you guys today that kind of hits home at the heart with everything that's going on. In Vienna, we just started university about a month ago at the beginning of the month. And so we decided to take it upon ourselves and speak a little bit about this thing called hybrid learning. Robbie, what can you tell us about that? What are we doing today?
What are we doing today?
Yeah.
We are trying to explain how exactly students in Vienna feel about the e-learning in times of a pandemic. We created a short survey, very, very casual, in order to see the satisfaction among students with the e-learning procedures happening at the university.
Yeah. And also, I think we can, of course, incorporate some of our own experiences with what we encounter during this semester and also the last semester. So is there any changes? How are we feeling about it? But of course, the most importance should be laid on what the people out there think and how they perceive the situation in this particular times, which are quite interesting indeed.
Yes, considering especially now the last 10 days where all of us have been quarantined and part of our department as well, we really realized the importance of particular measures being taken in regard to education and e-learning and stuff like that. That's why we really think this episode is extremely important, and it is bringing awareness of safety first, in a way.
Right.
But would you guys like to discuss shortly how people responded to our survey and what the results are?
Yeah, absolutely. Just also, how many people did we have responding to this survey? I think I sent it to quite a number of friends. I don't know how many people actually did it. I don't think too many, but It's a pretty nice survey. We got a lot of responses. Seems like most of them were from the main university, but we had some others as well.
Yeah, exactly.
We got around 100 people. We, of course, had to remove some of them from the sample because they were not studying in Vienna. Some of my Bulgarian friends also filled out the survey. Very supportive. Thank you, guys.
Shout out.
Unfortunately, we cannot include them, so we had to remove their answers.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so what was interesting at first... We don't have a huge sample, of course. We have about 100 people answering our questionnaire, and most of them came from Uni Wien, so from the main university. And so we're here not talking about all different types of universities, all FHs, and anything, but mainly about also our university, so what we encounter and what people from our surrounding encounter. And so we asked them, the first question was right away, so what amount of lectures and seminars are online? And here it was interesting to see that indeed some stuff and a lot of stuff is happening online. So the average, so we had a scale from 1 to 10 here, and the average was 7.5. So a lot of people actually encounter online learning, e-learning. And yeah, so what we wanted to know then, what does this mean for students? What does it mean? And so the next question was, how do you like these online seminars and lectures? And here the average you could see was immediately dropping down to 5.9 on the same scale from 1 to 10. So you can see they are still kind of satisfied with the online learning, but yeah. It is more distributed, and there were some, so I looked at the Excel list at the numbers, and there were some people that don't really like e-learning at all, so they gave it a 1.
Yes, I think that was one of the most striking, actually, results, that only me and another 3 people actually voted that they would go entirely online. Everybody wants to do offline lectures as they used to be before, or eventually hybrid lectures that are 50-50. But I'm so amazed. I expected so many people to love online learning, but it's obviously not the case.
Yeah, I can say the same. I really expected a lot of people to end up loving online learning. I know back, I went to did my undergraduate in the States, and there are so many online opportunities there. Because there's a lot of people that work full-time and go to university, and you can get your degree almost completely online by taking classes. And for me, I took almost always at least one class fully online a semester. And without that, I think it would have added another semester or two if I hadn't been able to do that. And I loved it. You know, like it was usually really easy. The videos were kind of preloaded, and we had interaction on Moodle. And I think that it really speaks to like that there's an infrastructure and a routine that you need to set up. But to be completely honest with the results that we got, I actually thought that 5.9 out of 10 was a pretty high number for liking the online lectures based on like kind of the chit chat that I've heard around people, how much they hate it. I actually thought 5.9 is not so bad. You know, 59% or 5.9 out of 10 is usually not so great. But in this respect, I thought it was actually relatively high. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. It's not that bad. I mean, it is not perfect, of course. But if I think about it again, it is true indeed. What I've heard from, this e-learning, again, this hybrid format, I don't know what to do. And concerning that, the number is actually quite okay. You're right.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry for interrupting, Harry, but that's why we also included in our questionnaire, like questions who are covering why people actually don't like e-learning, or what are actually the parts of e-learning that they like the most. And I think over 72% answered that they really miss their social contact with peers, and their lecturers and professors, and that they have been spending way too much time in front of the computer or laptop. And of course, that they found it very hard to stay focused a longer time when they have to do everything online and, you know, you're sitting on the desk the entire day.
Yeah. And I can actually refer to these kind of experiences. When I think of my last semester, indeed, I did feel all these feelings, like lack of social contact, too much time in front of the screen. I couldn't focus at all. But I have the feeling, maybe, what do you guys think? Has this changed now with the time that has been passing? Like, people could maybe adapt a little more to the situation. And so, yeah, what do you think here? Because for me personally, I'm way more aware of the situation now and could easily or way more adapt to it. What do you think?
Well, I think the situation definitely changes people, and it changes what you expect out of a class. I'm thinking, you know, the 5.9 is pretty high, because I think if you would have polled the same people and asked them, how do you like your lectures in general before all this Corona stuff, I think you also might not have had such a high number if you asked them, hey, how do you like them? You might have only gotten a 6.5 or a 7 because the lectures were boring at the start, you know? What are we really comparing it to? But now if you ask them, they might love the in-person lectures, you know, like that. They might have a newfound respect for sitting in a classroom and listening to some old geezer talk about something. But I don't know. Like, I'm still rather impressed by it. And I have to say that that I miss in-person learning. I struggle also with online learning a little bit, but I'm not so sure. I think I struggle more now, like here with it in Vienna, with the courses I have here, than I did in the States. And I think that has to do something with the way that they're organized, or maybe a lack thereof of organization. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, I mean, another interesting facet of the questionnaire indeed is how satisfied were the people that we asked with their teachers using and maintaining digital educational tools. And here, the interesting thing was they were quite satisfied with that. So that is also, yeah, kind of counterintuitive to my experience, because here I have found that some teachers really lack the motivation or the knowledge to perform an online digital course. But I don't know. Do you think your teachers are doing well, Robbie?
Oh, yeah, I'm very satisfied with our department. And maybe the fact that we're a smaller department and less students, it's much easier to organize. But Harry is the person to tell us more about it, because he's one of the teaching assistants or tutors. And he has also seen the other side of online learning, and that it's not always as easy as we think to organize a lecture or a class and the discussion and turn it into an entirely digital form. Because maybe the fact that most of us until now never had experience with e-learning, mm-hmm. our expectations maybe are not that objective. And if you, for example, had your previous educations done mostly online, probably you would have higher expectations of how all those platforms and all the assignments given should be maintained and so on. But please, Harry, tell us, what's the other side of the coin?
Well, I can't tell or reveal everything, because that wouldn't be right about my colleagues at work. As Robbie said, I'm a teaching assistant actually for the department that we study at. But I have to be completely honest, I'm really satisfied with how the teachers have been responding and building their courses for online. Of course, there's some hiccups every once in a while, but a lot of that has to do with the technology not functioning the way that we expect it to. What I would say is that a lot of the importance when we went into this semester is, if you have a course that was designed to be in person, it's fairly difficult to change it to online learning because it was conceived of having people in person. However, when you have a brand new course and you get to design it kind of from the ground up, it's really easy to make it a class that can be for e-learning because you get to design every assignment, you get to design the interactions with the students and kind of build it that way and design it that way. And I think that's why all the other online classes I've had in the past worked so well is because they had always been online classes or there had always been an online version of that class. So there's a type of routine and procedure that's set up and able to do it successfully. I think the problems that you get to a lot of the time in this semester that we've had, especially for the first year students that are arriving in Vienna and taking the class for the first time, is we have this set of core classes in our department that every student has to take. And it's really important these are in person. So it's kind of thrown us a little curveball here about how to handle that and put them online. Especially with our room, we have certain physical mandates that the university gives us that, you know, such as having only 15 people in the room at any given time, which is pretty difficult when you have a cohort that we just invited of 23 people. So we have to divide them into A and B groups and have them alternate presence, which means that you have to organize at the outset and say who has to be when and where. And this has to all be clearly communicated in September for something that has to last until, you know, the end of January. So it's a lot of planning in the beginning for things that will go on months, which is one thing, but it also gets a little bit more difficult as the situation changes around us.
Yes, Harry, that's great input. And you mentioned something that I think is crucial, and it's communicating things clearly. And I really think that most of the people, they don't hate e-learning that much because of the form, but because everything is so unorganized and they have no clearly communicated rules or expectations or requirements of their assignments and everything. And this could be probably part of the reason why some of the students are not taking e-classes as seriously as offline classes. What would you say, Costa, about that? Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I mean, do you ask me as a person, do I take it seriously or in general?
Both.
Because I of course, as a proper student, I do take e-learning seriously. Sure. No, I mean, as I said, last semester, I really struggled with it. And I then also deregistered from some courses because I had the feeling, as you just mentioned, there wasn't a clear path of communication and there was no clear way to do things. And so I decided, okay, well, I'm not learning anything here. I wanna do other stuff in my life. And so I went out into the nature, looked at some trees, and I was happy. But in general, of course,
I have to disagree with you because this uncomfort that is created for us with those new circumstances and new environment, it's learning us to be more adaptive, I think. So you're learning something at the end of the day, and you next time you have a similar situation, you would know how to react and make it as easy for you as possible.
Yeah, but I don't know if that necessarily negates what Costa is trying to say. Like, Costa, I have a question. Do you think that there's a pretty big difference between the way that e-learning was done last semester versus this semester? Because like I said, last semester, we were kind of just thrown into it. You know, there was a press conference from the Austrian government. Then the university closed the same day and we had to change everything to online with no preparation of doing online classes. And this semester, we had a whole summer to try to prep for this. So do you notice a difference as a student?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly my point. So I have the feeling that the time that passed and also the forecast that this situation might not be over within weeks. So everyone knew, okay, we need to figure out a way to still properly do e-learning, to do university. And therefore, I also agree that the students, the teachers, the university, they're doing a pretty good job. And I enjoy all my hybrid classes, my online classes. And I think that more and more people this semester feel the way that it is going quite okay, and we can live with it.
Yes.
And learn something.
You're totally right on that one, guys, which kind of made me think there were so many memes about digital learning. I totally tell you, I was collecting them for a while. And yeah, I was thinking what functions might be incorporated in those e-learning platforms, be it Bluebutton or Zoom or Jitsi or many, many others, so they can ease the UX, like the user experience in the future. What do you think is an eventual upgrade those platforms might get?
That's a really, really good question.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
# socio-technical imaginaries.
I mean, one thing that is quite cool, I think, is, for example, with Big Blue Button or Collaborate, you mm-hmm. have this possibility to have the breakout rooms. And these yeah. breakout rooms, from my experience, work pretty well. So people can split up into groups of 2 to 5 people and then talk, discuss the stuff, work on a project even. So you can share screens and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
That is what works well. But I cannot, my imagination again is too limited right now.
Which you can also all do it in Zoom. But real quick for the listeners, can one of you guys maybe say what Big Blue Button is for people outside the University of Vienna system so they might know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is a kind of a platform embedded into Moodle, the learning platform of the Viennese, the main university in Vienna. I mean, some listeners might know it, some may not. It is Moodle, this is where you put in all your assignments. This is also where you get your tasks and stuff and your online lectures.
Right. It's Blackboard, Moodle, every university basically has one now. But I just wanted to kind of say, you know, Big Blue Button is kind of a Zoom alternative that's embedded into the system, just if people didn't know.
Yeah. Yes, and in comparison to last semester, they really did a lot of job on Blue Button because there is a new function that I thought would be useful also for Zoom, and it's like sharing your notes with others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this got me thinking, what would be something that we might need in the future? Because it's not only e-learning in terms of school, which we have this Google Class for, or university. There are also a lot of academia that are offering various personal development and professional development courses that are happening online, which is great because you can attend so much and learn so much from people that are not even on the same continent as you. And I was thinking, how can you make the ultimate communication tool or platform? What would it be? What would we need? Because it's based on a big, like on a huge extent on what people need, and I cannot really think of anything else. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a good point to start to think about. You know, if we're going to focus so much on what the platform can do, are we really thinking about a different future of university learning? If we're starting to think so deeply about how to improve these platforms, are we kind of giving up on going back to having everything in person? Or is there a way to have both? Is there more opportunities now in the future after this whole ordeal to have more e-learning opportunities with full online classes? Do you guys see that happening?
So what the people in our questionnaire said was that the most people really wanted to have it hybrid. So they want online learning as well as offline learning. So that was more than 50% of people said this. So I think, I mean, there could be a way, of course, to go back to the offline university with some online learning. But I think also the people right now acknowledge the positive effects this online learning can happen and what you can really do in these meetings and breakout rooms and shared notes and shared screens and all these possibilities you have there and the platforms, what they can offer you. And I think once the platforms get revisited, revised, maybe adapted again to future applications, we can really learn a lot. And
True. Well, guys, before we wrap it up, would you like to add the typical STS twist to this topic, this controversial technology of e-learning platforms? How can you observe it and experience it from an STS perspective?
Yeah, so Robbie, I think that anything that you're looking at with this whole e-learning and university and knowledge, I think it naturally has a STS type of angle on it. You know, I don't think you have to look very far or try very hard to try to look at this from an STS perspective or use different approaches. I think that everything that we've talked about so far in this podcast could be directly talked about in some type of STS publication or from different STS scholars. And I definitely think there's many ways to go with it. I think that there's disagreements to be had and a lot of discussions to be had about what this means, you know, with the connection between society and technology. I think that there's like, as we've discussed, you know, I think it has changed people's perspective a lot when certain events happened. And what do we do? Like a pandemic hits, we're all trapped in the house, but we still have to go to university. So I thought it's kind of crazy the opportunity that all these technologies have, right? I think that was my biggest impression over the last 9-10 months is we have all these toys, gadgets, and gizmos, in different laptops, different platform services, and now we finally get to use them. Before, they were kind of like lurking in the background. You know, people use Skype to call their grandparents. Like I call my grandparents on Skype. I don't dare use a different platform because it's taken them 3 years to learn Skype. So they're now experts in Skype. So I cannot switch. It would just throw them completely off. So I have Skype on my computer to talk to them. But now we have all these toys to play with. And what I think is really important in the society angle here is that there's some big companies at play here. You know, like who knew what Zoom was 2 years ago? Be honest with yourself, right? Zoom wasn't there, but now all of a sudden, when it has to be there, this giant company that has technological resources, that has been doing things on platform, has this opportunity to take advantage and come and just really almost monopolize this in a lot of ways. Because if you ask people what they want to use or what to chat, we're chatting on Zoom right now. You know, I think that there's a lot of questions that need to be addressed that cannot just be technological questions because they're fundamental societal questions. And anytime you have issues like that, there's a room for STS scholars to come and work with it and to really make some claims and counterclaims. I don't know, but that's just me ranting. My opinion might change, but I've thought like that for quite a while. What do you guys think?
Well, I think you have laid out some different perspectives here, which I kind of like. So one thing that is striking with me, of course, with Zoom particularly, is the, you know, the privacy topic. So there were some rumors about Zoom being not really reliable with regard to your data privacy and other platforms as well. So this definitely, when we do stuff online, this is definitely an issue. And then, what you mentioned also, power mechanisms, of course, like what are the corporations that have the power to perform these platforms? Does the university even have a choice of which platform to use? Or is it obvious that the monopolized part of these platforms need to be used? So that are some questions which we can work with in STS and really look at and how this unfolds itself. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, totally. I also wanted to bring up the privacy issue. Very good point, Costa. And I don't know, in my head, it's always how this construction of society through technology and vice versa So I think those new gadgets and tools are going to kind of, are going to allow us to explore and expand our horizon on what is coming next and how we can be more efficient or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's this interplay between indeed society and technology that I find very interesting. That's quite an STS twist on it.
Right. And we didn't even have to try.
No. It's kind of, with this topic is kind of obvious.
Right.
That
absolutely.
They're deeply intertwined and deeply connected to each other. And right. I mean, you can experience that in everyday life for real.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why I think we felt that it was really important that we talk about it today, because it's something that's going on right in front of us and that everybody seems to have kind of a hot take about and wants to discuss it. And I think it really ties in with our studies and shows us that what we're doing does have a value. And it is important to ask these types of questions about what it means with this e-learning and where are we going? Maybe where we shouldn't go. I think these are important questions that we need to ask.
Yes, Harry, absolutely. Absolutely very, very wise words. Which kind of reminds me of another STS perspective that we haven't discussed yet. And I refer to a quote from a friend of ours, Moritz. Thank you, Moritz, very much for sharing your opinion on e-learning. So Moritz did something very interesting, which is also very typical for the field of science and technology studies. He compared offline and online university not only as spaces, but also as institutions. And what he meant is that the university itself, as being there in these rooms where so many famous scientists have studied and contributed to science, it just carries some kind of legacy and some kind of history that you simply cannot have in online learning, or at least not so far. So I think this concept is quite interesting, because in STS we very often speak about construction and constructing spaces. And in that case, it's spaces for education. So let's hear what Moritz actually has to say about it.
Because I think university really, really depends on the physical appearance in like nice rooms, in this amazing architecture rooms like the University of Vienna has to offer, because, you know, it really makes you proud and you have this amazing scientists who also went to this old university, and all of a sudden you find yourself sitting in one of those rooms being surrounded by people who would like to learn and who would like to discuss. And this is what makes university as such to me. And now it's changed. Now a lot of lessons and courses are online. But as I said, luckily, still some of my professors decided to make them public, and you can go there. And of course, you have to keep the distance. You have to wear masks. But yeah, they tried their very best to implement the regulations which we have in this pandemic at the moment to university, and they do, I think, their very best.
Does anybody have any concluding thoughts or things to get off their chest?
Not really, no.
Not really, but I would like to ask our listeners for one thing, and it's, we're planning on starting a new campaign on social media that aims to interact with people with memes, more or less. And we just want to target scientific, sociological, technological issues and wrap them up in a fun and entertaining way. So if you guys find something or come up with something, feel free to drop it at our email, scienceslotmachine@gmail.com.
So just to be clear, you want them to throw memes at us, correct?
Yes.
Send us your best memes. And topics. Absolutely,
of course. So yeah, no, maybe one concluding remark from my side is, so this was a tryout session for us. So this was a topic we came up with for the first time. And Yeah, so this will be a thing for the future, I think. So it will be a mix of topics that you listeners suggest, so we can still have the drive of the science slot machine for us. But then we also want to add on to this and come up with our own topics with our, yeah, really connected to us and we really want to talk about. But I think it worked out quite okay.
Yeah, I have to say so as well. I think I'm pretty excited, guys. I don't know about you, but I really like this format that we have going on here now that it's just the three amigos, us three here in the podcast.
Yeah. Und una amiga.
Una amiga. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm really excited for what the future brings with our podcast. And I can't wait to see you guys next time, really.
Yeah. Thank you, Harry. And thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Hey, you guys as well. I get released from my home prison on Friday, so I look forward to seeing you guys, actually seeing you guys very soon.
Yes, and to everyone, just stay safe.
Stay safe.
That's okay. Important.
Now it's time to send us your topics. Pick whatever comes to your mind. We will deal with it, even if it's obscure or very niche. Challenge us. Simply send us an email at scienceslotmachine@gmail.com. Again, it's scienceslotmachine@gmail.com. No spaces. We look forward to hearing from you.